Raspberry. Our Father in heaven, the one who dwells in glory and majesty, and yet the one who is also pleased to dwell in us, we thank you for this day that we can be gathered in your presence to worship you. We know all this is possible because of your love toward us, your grace toward us, expressed through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will be pleased to be in our midst, that you will have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into what you revealed in the scriptures, that our hearts may be eager to know the truth, to respond deeply to you, and that you have the freedom to do a deep work in each of our hearts. We commit this time into your loving hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 177th message, the subtopic for today. For to me to live is Christ. The sixth message, the Apostle Paul, the fourth message. I have been considering with you how we express and live out the posture of God in truth in the light of God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, summed up in the expression, for to me to live is Christ. And the last three messages I considered with you, the best example for us to reflect upon in relation to this approach to life. And that is the one who declared these words, the Apostle Paul himself. Let us now continue to reflect on the life and ministry of Paul, how he expressed the posture of God in truth, as he lived out the meaning and implications of the declaration of his declaration, for to me to live is Christ. To Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and faithfulness to Christ also meant commitment to the truth, proclamation of truth, and manifestation of truth at all times. And this is what I want to concentrate upon today. Paul, at a personal level, he not only sought to proclaim the truth, but for himself, he also sought to know the truth. And not only to understand, but also to absorb the truth. And then to manifest the truth in his life. We can say he is following the example of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth radiated from his being. And so we see, likewise, the Apostle Paul. This was also true in his life. He sought to know the truth, absorb the truth, truth was formed in his being, and he radiates truth from his innermost being. But Paul was concerned not only about knowing the truth for himself, and radiating truth from his life, it was also a deep burden in his heart that this will may also be true of others. As many as possible may become like that. Not just become like him, but like the Lord Jesus. And this is an important feature of the posture of God in truth. If we align our hearts with the posture of God in truth, then for ourselves, we will set our hearts to know the truth, absorb the truth, manifest the truth, and also, at the same time, a deep longing in our hearts that others may also know the truth, absorb the truth, and manifest the truth. Let's first turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For if in anything I boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth." So Paul was talking about what he had spoken to Titus about the Corinthian believers, but the words I want to concentrate upon is, Paul wrote, "We spoke all things to you in truth." When we read these words, we may tend more to concentrate on the point that Paul is trying to put across from the angle that he speaks words of truth. So what he says, the things he says are truth, accurate, they are not false. But if we reflect further upon it, although that is true, this is something very important, but what Paul wrote here goes much further than that. The meaning here includes not only speaking words of truth in the sense that they are accurate, they are not false, but in truth also includes the attitude, the motivation in the heart of Paul, and the spirit of it. He said, "I spoke all things to you in truth." That is, Paul spoke words of truth that flowed forth from a heart renewed by the truth God has revealed to him. And it includes the direction, the goal, in the direction of God's call. And Paul says, "I spoke all things to you in truth." That is, he's motivated by the truth, the direction of truth. And that is in the direction of God's call. And that was Paul's life, his attitude, the whole way he lived. And of course, he spoke words of truth, includes his carefulness, that whatever he says are truth. And this is also how we ought to live. Not just the words we utter are accurate, but the whole spirit of it, and the direction. Why we say what we say. And Paul would persist in this path, even if it would result in others viewing him unfavorably. Paul's primary concern was that he be faithful to God and that he speak words of truth in order that others may be helped, built up. But if he were to do this, at times he can be misunderstood. At times it may result in others viewing him unfavorably. As we go on, we'll see that this is very real in the life of Paul. It was not just a theoretical possibility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, you'll notice that as we reflect on Paul's declaration, "For to me to live is Christ," I've referred from time to time to the second epistle of Paul, and it's helpful for us to take note that in this epistle, Paul shared various things from his heart, and this has to do with his response to what he perceived to be the condition in the hearts of the Corinthian believers. In spite of Paul's love for them, ministry towards them, there were problems, including to what degree they were prepared to pay heed to what he had to say, and reliance on him and trusting him and his ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, Paul wrote, "Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth." These are very meaningful words, helpful for us to ponder over and also seek to identify with what gave rise to these words from the heart of Paul and learn to be like him. Paul says, "Now we pray." So this is a serious thing. He's praying to God that you do no wrong, that whatever you do is right. Do no wrong is also in the same direction as truth, walking in truth. We've seen truth has a sense of what ought to be, what is accurate, what is correct. We pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may approve, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. Is it so that Paul doesn't care whether his life is approved or not? No. Paul is deeply concerned that his life is approved, but his primary concern is that his life is approved by God. And if he is true, and He speaks words of truth. His life manifests truth. That is what he's concerned about. But that may not always mean that others will approve of him. He says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth." He's concerned that the Corinthian believers do what is right, that their lives make good progress. Yeah, and he tries to help them in that direction. And as he seeks to do that, he wants them to know that the main thing and what motivated him, how he went about his life, it's not so that he can become popular. Many will approve of him and commend him. He says, even if we may appear unapproved, my concern is still that you do what is right. So not only for his own life, but also for others that he ministered unto, he wants them to manifest truth in their lives, to do what is right. And then verse 8, he says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth." So for the truth here, we can see that what Paul is talking about, it goes beyond just that you speak words that are accurate. The truth here, in its wide sense, includes what God has revealed. There's content, there's meaning, there's direction. It's in line with what God has revealed in the scriptures, the gospel, the good news, God's purposes, and how God wants us to respond to him and to his high calling. So Paul's life was like that. He will not do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. Whatever the outcome may be, as far as how others may view him, treat him. In earlier message, we've already seen that Paul and his co-workers, they commended themselves to others by the manifestation of truth in their daily lives. Still 2 Corinthians, but now chapter 4, verse 2. We look at this verse in earlier message. Maybe reading from verse 1. "Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or doubting the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So it's not that Paul didn't care how others view him and his conduct, how he affects others. But the way he commends himself, how he goes about that, is by the manifestation of truth. That's how he commends himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So if people appreciate the truth, that's fine. And they appreciate him because they appreciate the truth. But he doesn't want people to appreciate him apart from divorce from appreciation of truth and the manifestation of truth in his life. And this is something helpful for us to reflect upon. Many in the world, including Christians, at times, we want people to approve of us. We want to be popular. We want people to like us. But we may compromise the truth. But we ought not do that. Yes, we want to get along with people. That's good. But it is in the truth. The manifestation of truth in our lives at all times is extremely important. And you notice the contrast. We have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adultering the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth. So in contrast to craftiness, adulterating the word of God, that is, the word of God becomes twisted, diluted, no longer accurate. That is compromising the truth that God has revealed, taught us, shown us. We are compromising it in order to be popular with people, or that people may like us, approve of us. So we see for Paul, it wasn't just proclamation of truth. Paul was concerned about effective proclamation of truth, and Paul knew effective proclamation of the truth must go together with the manifestation of the truth in the lives of those who proclaim it. This is a principle, an area of truth that we need to pay heed to. It's important for us to understand the truth, proclaim it, communicate it accurately, but for it to be effective, it must go together with the manifestation of truth in our lives. And it's also helpful to see the context of 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2. Paul, in verse 1, says, therefore, and this is linked to the preceding verses. And verse 18 tells us transformation, being transformed into the same image. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. That is, being transformed or conformed to the image of Christ. We can say the transformation, being conformed to the image of Christ, directly related to and flows forth in the manifestation of truth in our lives. On our own, we want to manifest truth in our lives without transformation. That is not feasible. But if we live our lives right, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, we are being transformed, conformed to His image. In that way, we will be able more and more to manifest truth in our lives. The two are related. More and more as you are conformed to the image of Christ, more and more you can manifest truth. More and more as you manifest truth in your life, you are true to what you understand, and you look to the Lord to help you. As you live in that way, more and more your life will also be transformed into the image of Christ. So we will be transformed if we truly live by the principle, for to me to live is Christ. We've been reflecting on what this means. If we live according to this principle, more and more we'll be transformed, and our life will manifest truth. And likewise, as we continue to concentrate to know the truth, absorb the truth, manifest truth, we will be living according to the principle, for to me to live is Christ. Paul, in his epistle as well as in his ministry, he emphasizes very strongly truth and love, and the two must go together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul wrote, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love can also be translated being truthful in love. In the context of this verse, Ephesians chapter 4, is the context of process of growth unto maturity in Christ, in fellowship with the brethren, in the expression of body life. Ephesians chapter 4, this passage we have looked at from time to time, is a very important passage in the scriptures, how we are to grow unto maturity in the context of the outworking and the healthy expression of body life. And at the core center of proper expression of body life is being truthful in love. It is in truth and also in love. And that is the way we attain to God's intentions for us in Christ. Growing to maturity as well as the way we relate, the way we respond and relate with one another. It must be in truth and love. Abiding in Christ, exaltation of Christ, and deep relationship with God, all this is deep, closely related to the posture for to me to live is Christ. All this can exist only within the framework of truth and love, because God is a God of truth and love. Truth and love are very primary attributes of God, and they ought also to become very much part of our being and our character. We want to attain to and we want to maintain a deep and rich relationship with God. Then we must be committed to and we must seek to work out our lives within the framework of truth and love. And note that this approach to life is at the heart of the posture of God and truth. If you say you align your heart with the posture of God and truth, then you must work out your lives within the framework of truth and love. We can say this is the most meaningful, the most fulfilling, and the most effective life that we can live. A life manifesting truth and love flows forth from a heart. Truth from our innermost being, the divine love filling our hearts. And not just experiencing love, but more and more love becomes a part of our character. But we also need to note, I hinted at this just now, but I want to comment a little further, that although this is the most meaningful, fulfilling, and effective life that we can live, it may not always be well received by others. We must be prepared for that and not compromise when it does occur. This meaning comes through in Paul's question to the Galatian believers. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul wrote, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" If you look at the New American Standard Bible, for this verse, telling you the truth, in the margin it says, dealing truthfully with you. The thrust here is not just merely words, but also the way Paul related with them. As I mentioned just now, the same meaning as we spoke all things to you in truth. In truth there goes beyond just the words. How Paul related with them, dealt with them, treated them, is he dealt truthfully with them. The essence of the meaning here is being truthful to you. And the being truthful to you here goes beyond just telling them words of truth. But the whole attitude, the whole spirit, the whole direction of his life. And it is quite clear in the context that Paul was trying to help them. An expression of his love for them. It is in love and in truth. So Paul wrote all these things to them, as well as the whole way he ministered to them. He was very concerned that they may be led astray. But Paul knew that although he was motivated by love, he spoke words of truth to them, he wanted and he was concerned for their welfare, he knew it may not be well received. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth, by being truthful to you, even though I cared so much for you? Though men may be upset with him, Paul knew that this approach to life is pleasing to the Lord, and he must persist in it. The life of truth is how we ought to live. Pleasing to God, and also how we ought to live, it is how a child of God ought to live in God's kingdom. How we ought to conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven, living in this fallen world, as God's children in God's kingdom. There's the meaning of truth. Walk in truth. In the scriptures, for example, in the epistles of John, has to do with what is pleasing to God, but not only that, it is what ought to be our conduct as befitting a child of God's kingdom. So Paul knew that although this is the way to live, is the most meaningful, effective life, but it may not always be well received. But though men may be upset with him, Paul knew that he must persist, persevere, because this is the way one ought to live. At the same time, it's also important for us to bear in mind that when we say we seek to walk in truth, in love, This means we devote our lives to what builds up. Love builds up. But love seeks to build up. So we need to be careful. Sometimes we say words that hurt others. They are detrimental to their lives. But we say, I've only spoken the truth. As I said, the truth in truth goes together with in love. It goes together with what is pleasing to God. The whole spirit of it, the motivation is to build up. So we need to look to the Lord for wisdom. When to say, what to say, how to say it. Bear in mind the sensitivities of people. Is it the right time to say it? In other words, to say and to do what is appropriate and what is pleasing to the Lord. That is why truth and love must always go together. When you say in truth, it actually already includes love. But when we put the two together, it reminds us that the motivation, the motive is to build up, not to tear down. And Paul from time to time says this, even the authority that God has given to him, he says the authority to build up, not to tear down. But having said this, the point to note is still this. What is pleasing to the Lord may not be pleasing to men, even believers. That is, even if we've been careful, we've been prayerful, and the Lord wants us in faithfulness to Him to say certain things, to do certain things, it may still arouse hostility, anger. People may not be happy. People may misunderstand you, or they may feel hurt, and so on and so on. We can see this in the life and ministry of the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. He was so angry with Him from time to time, and to the point that they wanted to kill Him, and finally they crucified Him. But the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth, He always speak words of truth, and He spoke out of love. And He always speaks what is wise, what is appropriate, what the Lord desires, what God desires of Him. So we need to bear in mind both aspects. On the one hand, when we speak, when you see truth, it goes together with love. We are prayerful, we are careful, and the intention is never to destroy. The intention is to build up. The intention is to be faithful to God. But faithfulness to God does not mean our words, our conduct will always be well received, but we must try our best to ask the Lord to help us to speak words that build up, that will be properly received. But when we are faithful to God, or to the degree we understand we are doing what the Lord desires of us, and if it is indeed what the Lord desires of us, then we must not be deterred from saying and doing what God desires of us, but constantly checking ourselves that it is in truth and love. And if others are hurt, we need to evaluate. Is it really what God desires of us? This way of approach to life that we see manifested in the life of Paul, as well as his teaching and what he seeks to instill and encourage in the lives of others, is consistent with the teaching of the Lord Jesus and also the Old Testament. It is the way of truth in Christ. I cannot go into a lot of details at the moment, but if we read through the scriptures, we will find that this keeps coming through. It runs through the scriptures. This is the way of true discipleship. It is the way of true freedom in the Lord. That is, paying heed to what the Lord has to say, abiding in His will and His ways. That's the way we become true disciples. That's the way we know the truth, not just in our heads, but also experientially, knowing in the sense of experiencing and living out the truth. That is the way we experience true freedom in the Lord and freedom in the truth. I referred to you three key verses in this direction, the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8, verses 31, 32, and 36. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." From time to time, I've come to this verse because it is a very important verse, very rich in meaning, and hopefully with passing time, more and more, we will not only be familiar with these words, but with its meaning, and may it become increasingly real and true in our personal experience. The Lord Jesus says, if you continue my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Yes, if we have been born again, we seek to follow the Lord, we are his disciples. But the Lord Jesus says, to be my true disciples, that means you are true to your profession of faith in him. You are living in the way that he desires of us. And we are truly following him. Disciples are those who follow the Lord. He says, then you are truly disciples of mine. When is that? When does that take place? If you continue in my word. So we need to know what he is saying. It includes what has been revealed in the scriptures. It includes what he continues to speak to us each day. We are sensitive to what he's speaking to us, how he's guiding us, what he desires of us. And not only we recognize, we continue in his word, we abide. That is, we walk in it. We are faithful. We walk according to understanding and of what he desires. And we are truly walking in his will. Then we are truly disciples of his. He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We want to have the deep sense of abundance, the freedom in the Lord, the life of richness. This is the way. The truth will make you free. It is in this way that you will know the truth. So we know here that know the truth here goes beyond just a recognition. You first need to recognize, but then you need to walk in it. In that way, our lives will blossom. The truth will make you free. But this doesn't mean you'll be an easy life. We know together with that, there can be various difficulties. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. It involves the principle of the cross. But this is the life that God desires of us, and this is a life of true abundance in the spiritual realm. And verse 36, the Lord Jesus says, so, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So we need to see the two going together. The true freedom is in the truth, but true freedom is only the Son making us free. And the Son making us free, helping us to attain the true freedom, is in the truth. So both are essential. We must be abiding in Christ, and abiding in Christ must be the life of truth and sensitivity to what the Lord is saying and walking in it. Abiding in his word. That is all that we are trying to put across, and what how the Apostle Paul lived his life, and what the Apostle Paul is seeking to bring about in the lives of believers. The goal is be men of truth and be faithful to the Lord. That is something that needs to grip our hearts, and at the same time to recognize that we can be men of truth and be faithful to the Lord only by the grace of God, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual reality of Christ lives in me, as we've seen in earlier messages, Galatians 2:20. the principle of Christ lives in me. That is how you become men of truth. But if Christ lives in me is really operating in our lives, then we'll be walking in truth. The two must go together. We cannot say Christ lives in me, but we are not walking in truth. It doesn't fit. Likewise, we cannot just strive to be men of truth, but the principle of Christ lives in me, we do not appreciate, neither is it operating in our lives. The two must go together. This expression, man of truth, was used by Moses' father-in-law when he advised Moses to select men of truth to help him shoulder his responsibilities with regards to the welfare of the nation of Israel. We see this in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Moses' father-in-law, advising Moses, he told him, "Select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these men, or you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." Verse 22, "Let them judge the people." So the context here, we know, men of truth here, it communicates to us, people who are suitable for leadership responsibilities, men of truth who hate dishonest gain. So they are honest people, they are reliable people, they are men of integrity. It's associated with that. But if we look at the whole biblical thrust, men of truth in the rich biblical sense, these are reliable, honest, faithful men of integrity. Together with that, men who love the Lord, who are walking with God, who are walking in the light, who are serving God in sincerity and truth. And men of truth are those who knows the truth, who have absorbed the truth. The truth has formed in their being, and they manifest truth in word, in conduct, just like the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. He manifests truth in all that he says, all that he does, and even when you're not speaking, not doing anything specifically, the truth is still there. Just like love, if it has become a quality in your being, it's only when you express love, then there's love. No, there's already love in your being. Similarly, truth. That's how it ought to be, and then you manifest it. So we need to concentrate on seeking to know the truth, and God has revealed so much in the scriptures. But this truth, to become men of truth, is something alive. It goes beyond just reading the biblical text. At the heart of it is essential to know the truth, Christ himself, the living truth. As in that context, that we grow and become more and more conformed to Christ, and the truths and principles revealed in the scriptures formed in us, that goes together with the formation of the character of God. That's how we become men of truth. And more we'll then be able to serve him in sincerity and in truth. And helpful for us to note how Joshua exhorted the Israelites to live their lives just before his departure from this earth. And we know in Joshua 24, verse 14, when Joshua spoke these words just before he passed away, that these are important words that he wanted to communicate to the Israelites. And one important aspect he commented to them in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." The heart is sincere and it is in truth. Likewise, David before he passed away, he charged his son Solomon to exercise care to walk before God in truth with all his heart and with all his soul by walking in the ways of God. And then he told Solomon, if you do that, you will succeed in all that you do and wherever you may turn. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. He was about to die, and then he charged Solomon, be strong. Here is not physical, but spiritually strong. There is something important. There's something positive. Then David went on, keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, walk in the ways of God, obedient to God, according to what is written in the law of Moses. For us today, we have the whole Bible, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise, which he spoke to me, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart. Verse 4, careful to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, summarizes the preceding. It has those implications. Because David said, you will then succeed so that the Lord may carry out his promise. And the words of the Lord said, if your sons are careful to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul. So how do you do that? Walk in his ways, keep his commandments. And their implications, you'll be strong, you'll succeed in all that you do. Many in this world, we want to be successful. Many in the world want to be successful. But here, David is talking about true success. It's not worldly success. It is something very important. All true believers must set their hearts on being truly successful. But how can we be truly successful? Careful to walk before God in truth with all our heart, with all our soul. That is the way we become strong. That's the way we will succeed. Succeed meaning we'll be able to fulfill the will of God. We'll be able to rise up to God's high calling. We'll be able to participate effectively in our working of God's purposes. We'll be able to contribute effectively to the outworking of God's purposes. So if we want to nurture a deep relationship with God, we want to live a successful life, we must live in this manner. We must learn to live likewise, according to the words of David here and the words of the Lord to David. We must exercise care to walk before God in truth, with all our heart, with all our soul, walking the ways of God, keeping his commandments. And isn't this what it means to align our heart with the posture of God and truth? And this is what it means when Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. We would like to echo these words in our lives. For to me to live is Christ. It's very meaningful to affirm these words. But let us understand, try to understand what's the meaning behind these words. For to me to live is Christ. It's very rich in meaning. And beyond the affirmation, seek more and more that our hearts may indeed be aligned with the truth, with the will of God, in all sincerity and truth. It requires a heart that's set on knowing God, on knowing the truth, absorbing the truth, walking by God day by day, nurturing our relationship with him, seeking to understand what he has revealed in the scriptures, seeking to understand why he has provided Christ for us. and what are the implications to know Christ, to abide in Him, and He in us. The importance of being filled with the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit. So, some brief concluding remarks for today's message. We must set our hearts to be men of truth in increasing depth and quality of meaning. It has to be a continuing reality. And it's not just whether we are or we are not. That must be something we set our hearts upon, and we continue to grow increasingly, more and more meaningful, deeper and deeper, the quality, the depth of it, the meaning of being men of truth in our being, and then the manifestation of truth in all that we say and do. And this can only take place in deep fellowship with God, continually seeking the Lord, nurturing our relationship with Him, walking with Him, hearing what He has to say to us. The man of truth is the man in Christ, walking in Christ, abiding in Christ, and Christ in us. There is no other way, because Christ is God's provision for us to rise up to His high calling. Because Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, not just mental knowledge, but living knowledge. Colossians 2, we have reflected on that passage. It's in that way that we can rise up to God's calling, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we can attain the glory in our own lives, manifestation of God's glory, and God will be glorified and God's purposes fulfilled. So this is the way we express and live out the posture of God in truth, and this is the way we express and live out the affirmation, "For to me to live is Christ." Let us learn from the Apostle Paul. It's very meaningful to appreciate it from this angle. Paul has written so much in the scriptures. They are so helpful for our learning. But if we at the same time appreciate that as Paul wrote words, they are very helpful for believers, many of the things he wrote, expression of his own heart and life. What is in his heart? What motivated him? How he lived? How he served God? A living example for us. Not just words of exhortation on how we ought to live our lives. And that is one major angle I've sought to try to communicate in these messages on Paul, "For to me to live is Christ." And we appreciate what Paul has written from that angle and many of these key verses. It can help us to appreciate the richness of meaning in the various verses where Paul testified of what is in his heart, his approach to life, how he lived and how he ministered, and the burdens of his heart and what he sought to accomplish in the lives of others. May we also learn to live in this way, not just affirmation of lips, but the reality of our hearts. What motivates us? What we long for, what we seek to attain to, what we seek to accomplish by the grace of God according to what He has revealed in the scriptures. We'll stop here for today. As we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, let's reflect on what God has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross and the implications of the cross and the resurrection of Christ. Let's also reflect on how Paul responded to God's call, to the revelation of the Lord Jesus, Jesus as the true Messiah, the Lord, who became the Lord of his life. and what it meant to Paul when he declared, "For to me to live is Christ." It is all encompassing. Every aspect of Paul's life reflected the depth of meaning of his declaration, "For to me to live is Christ." Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, consider before the Lord how we can respond more deeply identified with these words of the Apostle Paul, "For to me to live is Christ," grounded in the finished work of Christ on the cross and the spiritual fact and reality of our being joined to the risen Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reaching out to us in your love. Thank you for providing for us the scriptures. Thank you for the Spirit of God who seeks to help us to understand what you intend to communicate to us in the scriptures. We pray that more and more we may understand the truth, absorb the truth, and be men and women of truth. That we may truly understand how to walk in Christ, abide in Him, and He in us. That the affirmation of the words, "For to me to live is Christ," may become increasingly real and meaningful in our lives. We thank you for the perfect example of the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. We thank you for his life, his teaching. We thank you also for the Apostle Paul, also for his life and teaching, showing us how to be true and faithful to the Lord. We pray for each one of us that you will help us to also learn how to respond well to your calling at a personal level, and also how to encourage, uphold one another as we seek to work out together in church life. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you prepare our hearts that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And so even now we pray that you will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, help us to put away what is displeasing to you, and help us to be resolute in setting our hearts on that which is important and pleasing in your sight. We praise you, we give you thanks, in Jesus' name. Amen.